possible, quiet our hearts for the Lord and just go to Him now and let His Spirit speak and prepare the heart to be convicted, to receive blessings, find strength, be encouraged, find assurance and hope. Father, we just thank You that You would take orphans and make them sons.
Yes.
Take strangers and give them an inheritance. Take those who were dead in sin and fill them with the Spirit of life. We thank You that You've given us Your Word, Your very Word. Speak today. Speak in our hearts. Speak to us. Let us hear Your voice. May we have ears to hear. Hearts that are eager to receive whatever You have to say. Just have Your way with us. Your church here. Your church in this community. Your church universal. May we be a church rises up. With eyes fixed upon Jesus, counting this world loss for the sake of Christ. Fill us with divine Holy Spirit power to be Your ambassadors and Your witnesses in these days. Remind us through the preaching of the word this morning and the filling of Your Holy Spirit how precious the Holy Spirit is. And may we be a people alive in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not grieving the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, enabled and equipped and enlightened by the Spirit. Your precious Spirit as a comforter, as an advocate, as a convictor of sin, as a reminder that we're sons. Oh God, thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask the conviction of Your Holy Spirit through the Word of God this morning upon all of us, but we think particularly of anyone that isn't filled with the Holy Spirit, that does not know the Lord, maybe intellectually, but having a relationship, being in Christ. Oh God, cause Your Word to find a home in their hearts. So speak Your word today. Thank You again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was thinking of a verse in John 14 that has to do with home. And, you know, I was working in our bathroom remodel, and I had heard a vehicle drive in, and I'm thinking, well, it's a little early for Angie to be home from work, and because I kind of, in the process of work, kind of forgot who was supposed to show up that day, and in walks my daughter as I'm working, and, oh, it's you! You're home! And what a blessing it is when our children come home. I remember asking her, you know, because I know what it's like, you know, as we all do, but some of us are maybe more sentimental than others. And I always, going home, for me, it would have been like going to grandma's house or something like that, you know. Has, like, something happens when you cross a certain point as you're getting closer to home that all of a sudden you start feeling like you're getting home, you know, where you're going from your world to home, and usually there's some sort of threshold. I asked her, what was the point when you started feeling like you were getting home? And it was, for her, it was coming over the pass. And there's just something about being home. And Jesus says in John 14, I think it was around verse 26, he says that for those who believe in him and obey him and receive his commands, Jesus says, the Father and the Son will make our home in you. We'll make our home in you. So in other words, when God sees you and you're in Christ and you belong to him, when he sees you, not only does he see a son, not only does he see a sinner saved by grace, not only does he see a redeemed saint, not only does he see an inheritor, he sees home. He's made your heart his home. And that ties into what we're talking about today, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, which is, again, in Ephesians chapter 1. There we are, verses kind of the second half of 13 into 14. And while the word home isn't in these verses, it's there. Because if you're in Christ, then you're the home of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, Paul has been kind of heaping one blessing upon another. And now he adds, kind of wrapping up this, what is kind of like a long sentence or a long, this multifaceted thought that began in verse 3. Kind of wrapping this, which is, you know, this section is really the theme of the whole book, the letter. He adds one more of the Father's heavenly blessings to those who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Let's read this together. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Actually, there's another word. We got that. That's the one we want right there. So it's the same word, but we're going to focus on three words today. We're going to focus on the word promise. Say promise.
Promise.
And say we'll focus on the word seal. Say seal.
Seal.
And the word guarantee. Say guarantee.
Guarantee.
You didn't say that very well. Guarantee.
Guarantee.
Three words, three aspects of the Holy Spirit. Not the only descriptors of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, of course, but so there's a focus, there's a threefold focus on what the Holy Spirit is and what he's doing in relation to the passages that we've been considering. Now, the timing of the sealing is upon believing, according to the scripture. Having believed, you were sealed. Going to talk about seal in a moment, but it seems here that the act of sealing occurs the moment of faith. Now, I would say, let's say unconsciously, because there's a lot of things that happen. In fact, I think that's one of the things that Paul's been talking about. There are a number of things that have happened in the life of the believer that they're unconscious, they're just not aware of, they're unconscious to, they don't know, right? But they're there, and that's part of what Paul is doing. He's saying, these things have happened to you. This is what has occurred in your life. We're putting terms and some theology and some doctrine to explain all of the wonderful things, all the wonderful blessings that you received at the moment you believed. You know, she wasn't here last week. I don't want to embarrass her or anything like that. But our Molly... Sorry to call you out there, Molly. You may not know who Molly is. You know, there's a lot of folks you probably don't know in this room. But Spencer, you've seen Spencer up here. He's on the drum, or on the bass, that kind of thing. Anyway, Spencer, how many folks remember attending Spencer's baptism last summer? Isn't that awesome? Praise God. It went down the river And Spencer had been attending for, you know, maybe a few weeks or so. Anyway, Molly's been attending since then. And just observing, listening, paying attention. And 2 Sundays ago, she received Christ after the service. Amen? Praise the Lord. The moment that she believed, she was sealed. Amen?
Amen?
The moment she believed, she was sealed. Now, we understand that much of what God has done happened before the foundation of the world. And those are deep waters. We've been swimming in them for a while, okay? This is someone, our sister Molly, someone that God called daughter before the foundation of the world. Amen? And short her to come to Christ. So, the sealing is based upon a promise. Say promise again.
Promise.
Promise. The word means a pledge. It means a pledge. It means an assurance. In other words, God had made a commitment. The Bible sometimes uses the word covenant. He made a covenant, and we know that was with himself. Okay? But it was with us in mind. He made a covenant. He made a commitment, a pledge in eternity past, not only to redeem us, but to secure that redemption. To secure it. A number of scriptures that speak of this promise of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 44, verse 3, God says, I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. In Joel chapter 2, it says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Again, there's that promise. John the Baptist also talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 3. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Again, there's that promise. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There's that promise of the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus promises, chapter 14 of John, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He dwells with you and will be in you. There's that promise. Jesus again promised, Luke 24, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then in Peter's preaching to the multitudes in Acts 2:33, he says, Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, speaking of Christ, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. In other words, we see the scripture saying, the promise is coming, the promise is coming, the promise is coming. Then, the promise is here. Amen? The promise is here. It's like, we're getting close. We're getting close. Now we're here. And so the Holy Spirit is what Paul's saying. Listen, the promise has already been given. Now, we all understand when we come to Christ. I know this. I mean, I vividly remember when I came to Christ. I was 17 years old. Was with a youth group, but hadn't attended the youth group. I was just there by invitation from my best friend. And I remember hearing the Word of God preached, hearing it really for the first time in my life. I remember going to the altar, responding to that invitation of Christ. And then I remember purchasing a Bible, still have this Bible, little Bible. And we were supposed to, there was a time during the week of camp that you were supposed to spend a half hour in devotions. One, I didn't know what a devotion was. Never heard of a devotion before, doing devotions. But I had come to realize that it involved the Bible. And so I remember, and everybody was supposed to find a spot by themselves in devotions, which I had never done in my life. But I remember sitting there with my new Bible. And where do you begin? I didn't get any kind of instructions. I was just told that it was part of the routine, part of the schedule for the day is personal devotion. So it was the first full day of camp, and the first devotion that I would ever be a part of. I didn't even know what it was. But I remember sitting there. Now, I couldn't tell you what I read, or if I even could. Where do you go? Where do you start? You just kind of, maybe just crack the Bible open and see where you land. But what I did know, I couldn't put words to it. I could not put theological expression to it. But I knew there was something, that there was this assurance that God was with me. It wasn't intellectual. It was knowing in my heart. I couldn't explain what I'm explaining to you now in that moment, but there was this sense that God was real, God was there, and God was speaking. So there was a number of things that were happening, and certainly that happened at that moment of first believing, completely unconscious of. Completely did not have any idea. But I knew something was going on. I knew there was a change. There was something. Not just a moral change. There was a change within. You know what that change was? I couldn't tell you then what it was. I could tell you that there was something different, but I couldn't tell you what it was. Couldn't explain it to you. But what had happened was the Holy Spirit took up residence in the heart of a 17-year-old boy, who went from lost to saved at the moment of believing. And in the moment of believing was sealed and was filled with the Holy Spirit. I couldn't explain that to you, that that's what happened. But that's what Paul's doing here. Paul's saying, here are some things that happened to you. And I believe that as they're hearing this letter being read, they're hearing this verse, in whom have also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then it goes on to verse 14. That they were saying, so that's what happened. So that explains it, right? That explains that moment when I first believed. When I sat there with a Bible in hand, not knowing where to begin, not knowing what this life entailed, having no idea. One day I'd be standing behind the pulpit after 20 years preaching the Word of God, having no idea. But the Holy Spirit had taken up residence. He'd taken off his coat, hung it up on his hanger. He'd sat in his favorite chair and kicked up his feet. That's being home. I'd become the home of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Maybe you can remember such a moment or such times in your own life. Now, to be clear, the Holy Spirit is not just an additional blessing in this long list of blessings that began with verse 3. He is an additional blessing, but he's not just merely an additional blessing. This is the first time that he's referenced. First time we're given a name, Holy Spirit. But we know that he's been there from the beginning. He's been there in every verse. Because the Trinity does nothing separate. The Trinity is unity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit doing all things together. The work of redemption involves Father, Son, Holy Spirit from the beginning. Before the foundation of the world, the Holy Spirit was involved in that conversation for your redemption. And while we don't get to him until verse 13, we know that he's been there all along. It's kind of like, it made me think of, go back to Genesis. And you remember, before God said, let there be light, who was hovering over the waters? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, hovering over there, present, hovering over the waters before creation. And guess what we see here? The Holy Spirit hovering over the waters of the new creation. He's there from the beginning. Wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, he's always pointing to Jesus. So sometimes that's, I don't want to say the problem that a bad one, but sometimes it's our, we don't realize it because he keeps pointing to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of a promise. So there's been these promises. We just read some of the scripture. These promises, and the Holy Spirit came. The promise came. The promise was received. The promise sealed you. He is the Spirit of promise. But he is also the guarantee of a promise yet to come. Anybody looking forward to anything? Maybe change your hair color? You know you're going to get a new name? No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. The Holy Spirit of promise is a guarantee for the promise yet to come. I love that. Tells us there's something more. Something we're still waiting for. Let's read this verse again, focusing on a different word. There we go. Let's say it again. Ready? In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word seal. In the Greek, it means to mark with a stamp. It's one of the meanings. You think of ancient times when they might take wax and maybe pour it on the seal of an envelope, and they would use a ring with their image on it, and they would press that ring against the wax. And it would leave the image of the owner of the ring, right? So there's this word and its meaning and its context. It carries a number of encouraging things for us to think about. So one of the things the purpose of a seal, it is to authenticate. It is to place, it means to place beyond doubt. So obviously it encourages absolute faith and trust because it removes doubt. It is an official confirmation, and it indicates authority. Again, I'll give you an example. I got an example here. Maybe you probably have one of these too. This is my birth certificate. This is important to have, don't you think? Sometimes you need a birth certificate to prove that you were born. See? I was born. No, but there's an official, I just pulled this out. Look at this. This is the Malcolm Grow U.S. Air Force Hospital, Andrews Air Force Base, Washington, D.C., 20331. Don't hold that against me. Okay, John Joseph Richards the fourth. That's J4, Joseph's J5. Long line of JRs. Was born to John Joseph and Ellen and Mary Richards III. In this hospital I didn't realize that. I mean, you carry your birth certificate around like forever. And I didn't even know I was born at 12:18 p.m. on Monday, the 6th day of April, 1970. That dates me a little bit. In witness whereof, the said hospital has caused a certificate to be signed by the duly authorized officer and its official seal to be hereunto affixed. And the guy, the attending surgeon, is Philip Sapp, Captain of the U.S. Air Force. That's an official document right there. It's got a nice bright gold official seal, right? That's an important document there. So what the scripture is saying, at least in this particular point, it's that you have received an official seal with all of the authority of the God of the universe behind it. Right? Declaring the truths that Paul just talked about. The Holy Spirit is the seal of authentication that these blessings of God are yours. And you are His, and He is in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the actual seal. Right? There's another thing that the seal does. The meaning behind the seal. It is to secure. It's to keep safe. It's to preserve. And so we know that the Holy Spirit is God's seal of security. Listen to Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because, by the way, He's a person. He's God, a person living inside of you. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, the Holy Spirit is a seal preserving God's work of redemption in your life with the intent of bringing it to completion. That's what a seal does. Does something else. A seal marks as one's own possession or property. The signet ring of a ruler impresses upon the wax his image. There's a sense of ownership in that. This represents me, is what the king is saying. I own this. It belongs to me. So the Holy Spirit as a seal, God has put the Holy Spirit as a seal in your life. God is saying to you who have the seal of the Holy Spirit, you belong to God. He owns you. You do not own yourself. You belong to Him. You know, I think the Holy Spirit, there's a scripture, Paul writes to 2 Timothy, or writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. Here's the seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that He knows you're His? Listen to this scripture. This is out of Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The Holy Spirit bears witness or testifies that you belong to God. You know that I cannot convince you that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. It's not my responsibility to do that. You know whose responsibility it is to bear witness? It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to testify with your spirit that you belong to God, that you're His. Amen? Has He done that for you? Has He done that for you at times when you fell on your face? And He said, you're mine. Holy Spirit is the seal bearing witness that we belong to God and that we're in His hand. You see, the sealing of the Spirit, at least in part, has to do with the realization that we are in Christ. When I was sitting there, outside, back leaning, back pressed against the wall, sitting down with the Bible on my lap, there was that sense that I knew that God was my Father. Isn't that one of the first things that Jesus wanted everybody to know when he rose from the dead? I go to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. And what is one of the first things that the Holy Spirit does to bear witness of this sealing? Abba. Abba. How does Jesus teach us to pray? Our what? Father. What does this all begin with? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know God as... Do we know him as my Father? Or do we just know that he's a Father? There's a big difference between the two, isn't there? It's my Father. There's a verse I came across in relation to the seal. Jesus says this in John 6. He says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." So what Jesus is saying is the Father has put his seal on his Son. Now we know that we know that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. So there was that sense of that sealing in Christ. The Father set his seal of ownership. This is my Son. How many times did the Father say, "Behold, my Son in whom I am well pleased"? He owned him as, "This is my Son." There's that same sense in which the Spirit is saying, "Behold, my Son, my sons and daughters in whom I am well pleased." That is the witness testimony of the Holy Spirit. But the Father put his seal on the Son. It's the same seal that has been stamped upon those who believe. This seal, listen, this seal means the same thing for us as it did Jesus. This seal representing, "This is my Son," means the same thing for us. I love that because it seems that everything that Christ did, we're in Christ. We're baptized with him. We rose from him. We're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. And we have the same seal. Just as we share in his inheritance, we share in his sealing. The same stamp of God has been stamped upon us. I want to say this, and I hope it's not misunderstood in any way or demeaning in any sense of who God is and who Christ is, but we belong to God as much as Jesus does. Do you understand that? We belong, if we have the seal of God, the Holy Spirit in us, it's the same seal that Christ received from the Father. We belong to God as much as Jesus does. It's the same seal keeping us. Isn't that amazing? Listen, don't ask me to explain that to you. I'll just say it. I can't explain it. It's just, wow, kind of goes over my head. All I know is we're in Christ. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. We can be as sure of our inheritance as Jesus is. It's his inheritance, and he shared it with us. Let's move on to the next verse. Let's read this together. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Who is the guarantee? So So the seal of the Spirit is God's guarantee that he's going to finish what he began. Anybody finished yet? Who's all in process? Anybody in just a process there? Going through a remodel yourself? Going through a remodel? You're planning on, is that going to be finished someday? That remodel? It's going to be finished someday? You have the promise, you have the certainty, that the guarantee that your remodel is going to be complete. Absolutely, because the scripture testifies that one day we're going to have a body like his. Anybody looking forward to that?
Yes.
Just making sure we're on the same page here. Listen to what the word means, that this word guarantee. The King James uses the word earnest. So we also understand that word in certain contexts, in earnest. Okay? The word, it means money or something, or money or property, given as a pledge. It is giving money or something along those lines as a first installment or a down payment. Now, we've all made down payments, right? Now, depending, there are times when you put money down and you get it back. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. This is saying that the Holy Spirit has been given as the first payment that represents the whole payment. Okay? It is the representation. How do we want to say this? It's a sample of what is to come. We sang a song earlier today, a foretaste of what? Glory divine. So, in other words, what it's saying is, if I can put this into words that I can say and you can understand, this idea, this foretaste, is that it's like God taking all of the blessings of heaven and packing it in to you. I'm trying to explain this. That doesn't work. That's not working. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it works. I don't know. I'm at a loss. This is because it's too amazing. It's God putting heaven in you now. Okay? God has taken heaven and put it in you through the Holy Spirit. And so you're not just getting a sample of what it's like, you're getting heaven in a spoonful. It's like, I don't know, I'll go with something else. I love, sometimes the hors d'oeuvres are even better than the main meal, right? Sometimes you just kind of, I'm one of those grazers, I don't actually get a plate. I just kind of graze, you know. I'm always make sure I'm sitting close to the food table. Hors d'oeuvres, but it's like that hors d'oeuvre is representation of the whole meal, and it's just as good as the whole meal. It is the sample of the whole meal, right? So God loves us so much that he's given us his Holy Spirit because he wants us to taste the glory of God for all eternity in these frail, transient bodies. He wants to, I love this. The Holy Spirit is God living in us. And this is for us a sampling of eternity. Every waking and sleeping moment of our lives. Amen? It's what God is saying. I love them so much that they're waiting. They're waiting. But I'm going to give them an appetizer. In that bite is the glory of the inheritance. Because that's the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing what God has done for us? Man, I made myself hungry. Scripture. It says, He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit as in our hearts as a guarantee. In 2 Corinthians 5:5, it says, God has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. There's that word again, this guarantee, this guarantee, this guarantee. I remember buying a truck down below here, a little pickup. But I remember talking to, it was Mike back then. I don't know if you know Mike Kaiser back then. Some of you guys might have probably heard from him. And, you know, he's a nice guy. You know, he's a car salesman, though. And that's fine, too. You know, if you're, that's nothing against car salesmen. Don't take that wrong, okay? I know plenty of good car salesmen. In fact, I bought all my cars from car salesmen, pretty much. So it's not too bad. Anyway, but I remember sitting down with him and him sharing with me the kind of the warranty package. You know, and he was talking about this bumper-to-bumper warranty package for this truck. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. Bumper-to-bumper. I'm in it. All right. Well, you know, that means it's... And so then I began, as I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about buying this truck, and I'm liking the sound of this warranty package, I'm starting to ask questions about, so what you're saying is if this goes wrong, then it's covered 100%. Well, actually, no, that isn't actually covered. Well, but brother, you said bumper to bumper. Is that part that might go wrong? Is that between the bumpers? Is that between the bumpers? And then I ask another, but what about this? This is what it covers. It covers this, 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 and this. If this goes wrong, that goes wrong, that goes wrong. That's what we mean. We might buy bumper to bumper coverage. And I'm like, but what I mean by bumper to bumper coverage, I mean anything between one bumper and the other. I mean everything in between. Bumper to bumper coverage, right? So we worked back and forth a little bit, and finally, Mike wanted to sell me a truck. He was going to sell me a bumper to bumper covered truck. So, yeah, we won that day. Listen, this is what Paul is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit, about what the sealing, the importance of this sealing is all about. It's not the only thing that the Holy Spirit does, of course, but in this context, in this situation, he's saying, listen, guys, everything that we just told you about, remember all the spiritual blessings and everything places in Christ, we've just been kind of unpacking and pulling them out of God's box. And he's like, wow, look at this, look at that. Wow, isn't this amazing? Isn't that amazing? And listen, he's saying this, listen. The Holy Spirit's kind of like the box. It's all in the box. The box holds it all. The Holy Spirit seals it. It's got stamp upon it. It's yours. Bumper to bumper. Christ's blood has purchased the whole thing. It's gonna happen. The whole thing, you can guarantee you're going to be redeemed. That's how powerful the blood of Christ is. Has the power to actually redeem you forever. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantor of that. The earnest of that. God is going to keep his promise. He made a promise to himself for you and me. He's going to see it done. So much so that he chose to live inside of you to make sure it happens. Amen? So guess what we're doing? Like we said, there's this sense of we have been given something, but we're waiting for something. There's a scripture I came across that kind of helps capture this a little bit. This is out of 1 Corinthians 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I think this scripture here kind of describes the Christian experience. Right? You know, back then, they had mirrors, but they were kind of cloudy. It wasn't like the nice, absolutely clear mirrors that we have today. I mean, where you see everything. You see things you don't want to see in our mirrors, okay? But back then, it was kind of, one, you had to be really wealthy to have a mirror like this. But two, it was just kind of, it wasn't a clear, crystal clear picture. Looking at it, you just kind of, you see, you know, you see something there. You get a sense of what's going on, but you don't see all the fine lines and all the fine details. That's our Christian life, isn't it? We see, we're like looking in a mirror and we're just seeing a dimly lit picture. We can't quite see the shape. There's something there. We know that there's more than something there. We see some really important detail, but we don't see the whole picture. There's something about the picture that we're waiting to see. Holy Spirit has been given as a seal saying, just wait. You're going to see it crystal clear. Just wait. Yes, right now, you see in part. Soon enough, the Holy Spirit bearing witness in our hearts, you are going to see Him face to face. Amen? Face to face. The life that we live is just kind of, we don't see everything coming together. We believe, and sometimes we believe in spite of the fact that we don't understand certain things. We're sitting there, a 17-year-old boy, with the Bible in hand, not sure where to go, what to do. But we know there's something, that God is there. And He's real. And we have no idea what tomorrow holds. But as we grow, and sometimes as we grow, that picture gets a little clearer, but not until we see it face to face. We'll be able to throw out our mirrors. Because when we see Him, we will be like Him. Amen? Holy Spirit is precious. It's a person. Not an it, a Him living inside. It's God, very God, living in the soul of a sinner saved by grace. That is a miracle. That God, there's a lot of wonderful people. You know, talk about miracles throughout history. God creating the earth, creating the universe, creating the world, part of the Red Sea. Throughout history, many amazing things that God has done. Right? We could go. How many of you would, you know, you kind of want to sit down in heaven and kind of look at a replay of something? I want to go to the Valley of Elah and see David take out the giant. Anybody want to see that?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Want to stand there and see the Red Sea open up? Wow, and then all the Egyptian shoulders getting crushed by the waves? All kinds of things. But you know what? One of the greatest things that God has ever, the most powerful things, most amazing thing that God has ever done is He's living inside of you. He had to renovate you through the death of the Son, through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit applies that to your life. You're a son. You're a daughter. You belong to Him. The Holy Spirit bears witness. Oh, you don't see it now, but just wait. Just wait. You'll see it, and it'll be crystal clear. But now, we walk by faith, and not by sight. And the Holy Spirit goes us on, presses us on, woos us, encourages us, convicts us. Listen to Him. Nurture that relationship, the Holy Spirit of God. Because without Him, we couldn't see anything. But with Him, He opens our eyes and we get to see God, face to Jesus Christ, though dimly. He's our seal. He's our gift. The gift of God. Let's stand. Listen to the scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Brethren, you're sealed.